Hi, everybody. Welcome to Tilting at Windmills. I'm Stephanie Silberstein, writer, thinker, person, soon-to-be published author. More about that in a little bit, as well as some music coming up, so stay tuned. Let's start off with the publication report. If you want to advertise a novel, MySpace is definitely the place to be. Within minutes of posting my first bulleted announcing Winter's Silence upcoming publication, I received two congratulatory responses. This doesn't even count the number of people who read the bulleted and chose not to write in. Progress towards publication itself has been slow but steady. I met this week with my graphics designer to discuss some preliminary designs for cover art. In the meantime, I also met with my first readers, and I'm happy to say that response has been overwhelmingly positive. With only 6 months to go before the anticipated release date of June 6, 2008, I am excited to see that the community of writers helping me get Winter Silence off the ground is ever-growing. My late friend David Newton used to say there's enough room in this world for everybody to be successful, and the Winter Silence project is proving that to be the case. I have friends, family, and colleagues working on every aspect of the pre-publication and publication process with me, from graphic design to proofreading. If you'd like to help, please email me at stephanie@stephaniesilberstein.com. I'm going to sell 20,000 copies, and I want that success to belong to the community, not just to myself. And that's the publication report. Coming up, do real-life public schools force Christmas on non-Christian children the way they do in Winter Silence? And if so, what should we do about it? But first, a little bit of music. That was Chopin's Nocturne No. 2 in E-flat major, opus 62, brought to you courtesy of www.museopen.com. That's www.musopen.com. For those of you just tuning in, once again, I'm Stephanie Silberstein, and you are listening to Tilting at Windmills, the program dedicated to changing the world through fiction. And now for the topic of the week. Winter Silence addresses a covert or even accidental type of prejudice, the plight of the Jewish or other non-Christian child during the Christmas season in a public school. Throughout the course of the narrative, Emily struggles with being required to participate in the annual Christmas concert. As a Jewish child, she has been taught not to say the name of Jesus, yet the public school requires that she sing hymns to him. Fearing that this is a lie, and that God will be angry with her for it, Emily refuses to sing the songs and finds herself at odds not only with her teacher, principal, and parents, but with her classmates, who assume that there's something wrong with her because she is Jewish. One would hope that the world of real public schools is a little bit better than the world of Winter Silence, which is, after all, only a work of fiction. However, I'm sad to report that this is not exactly the case. As a child, I too was forced to sing Christmas songs despite being the only Jewish child in my class. The difference was I was 9, not 6, and I was merely told to stop being disrespectful. You would think that we'd no longer make people feel uncomfortable because of differences in religion. You would hope that the public schools, being so tolerant of everything from special needs on to religious differences, would not require children to sing Christmas songs when they're not necessarily Christian. However, this isn't the case. Schools across the country still have Christmas concerts made up of Christmas songs. They may throw in a token Hanukkah song here and there, and certainly no other religions are addressed. It's not an easy issue to deal with, because the people who are perpetuating this kind of prejudice and non-tolerant environment aren't doing it on purpose. They genuinely assume everyone is Christian as they are because, let's face it, Christmas has become much more of a secular holiday than it ever has before. It's become much more about gift-giving and less about the religious meaning of the birth of Jesus. As a result, some children are being excluded and some children are made to feel uncomfortable and some children are afraid to speak up because the religious issue is so overwhelming that they're frightened of confronting the adults in their life over it and equally frightened of participating and not participating. What can we do about this issue? The answer has to come from us grown-ups because children clearly can't solve this for themselves. They don't have the understanding and they certainly don't have the presence to be able to confront this issue and solve it. The first thing that needs to be done is education. I'm a teacher, so education always seems to be the answer to everything anyway. That certainly is the answer in this case. Remember, the people who are asking our children to participate in religious events without realizing that they're religious aren't bad people for the most part. They aren't malicious. They certainly don't want our children to be left out or to be hated. They merely don't understand. So we need to come to them, not in a confrontational mode, but in a spirit of understanding, explaining what our issues are with it, and why, and helping to find a solution. At the same time as we're being non-confrontational, we need to not be afraid to be firm. Because these people might not realize what's going on, and we certainly have some answers that they don't. But Christmas has become such an accepted part of the society that unless we insist on our rights and on our children's rights, nothing will ever change. And the truth is, too many parents are like Emily's parents in Winter Silence, thinking that they don't want their child to be left out, so they give up on protecting their child's rights, and that's just as making matters worse. The other thing we need to do is make our children feel comfortable with themselves, whoever they are. If they don't want to participate in a concert, we should find out why. We shouldn't just say, well, the teacher says so do it. If our children are feeling uncomfortable about being different, we need to give them the reassurance and the security to know that they're okay. Because it's only from that that change really will come. When our children see us not backing down, when our children see us being confident, when our children see us being open, trying to educate others, they will model that and they will build their self-esteem and they will stop feeling so concerned about being different than others and they will be stronger and less picked on. In conclusion, this Christmas season, I encourage you merely to talk with your child, find out what their feelings are on the annual holiday concerts or whatever other celebrations may be going on in school. And if necessary, go to school administrators or teachers and share your concerns. That's all the answers I have. I'm very interested in your comments and concerns, however. Please email me at stephanie@stephaniesilberstein.com with your thoughts. In the meantime, here's some news headlines from this week. The Kansas Supreme Court ruled that a Sedgwick County grand jury investigation into a doctor who performs late-term abortions can go forward. Abortion opponents want the grand jury to look into whether Planned Parenthood's Overland Park Clinic provided illegal late-term abortions. A distraught man wearing what appeared to be a bomb walked into a Hillary Rodham Clinton campaign office in New Hampshire Friday and demanded to speak to the candidate during a hostage drama that dragged on for nearly 6 hours before he peacefully surrendered. Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez urged thousands of supporters to approve constitutional changes that he said could keep him in power until 2050. He threatened to halt oil exports to the U.S. if it tries to disrupt Sunday's vote. Thousands of Sudanese people burned pictures of a British teacher Friday and demanded her execution for insulting Islam by letting her students name a teddy bear Mohammed. Evo Knievel, the red, white, and blue spangled motorcycle daredevil who jumps over crazy obstacles, including Greyhound buses, live sharks, and Idaho's Snake River Canyon, made him an international icon in the 1970s, died Friday. He was 69. And finally, in sports, Packers quarterback Brett Favre is expected to start against the Oakland Raiders on December 9th and keep alive his record streak for consecutive starts. And that's the news. Next up, an excerpt from Chapter 1 of Winter's Silence. Sit back and enjoy.
Open the door. Her eyes were wide and blue as lakes, and she had her smile on, but her lips were thin. I stared at her while I ripped the note off the pin and came in. Uncle Matt, who was standing behind Mama, pushed the door closed. It squeaked all the way. The room felt like it was shrinking. Uncle Matt looked taller than ever. I held the note out in front of me and took baby steps. Here, Mama, Miss James said you have to sign this. She...
Wipe your boots, please, Emily,
Mama said. I pulled my boots off and put them on the mat. It wasn't my fault. The music... Mama tucked the note and looked at it, but her eyes didn't move. Uh-huh. She walked away. I pretended like I was going upstairs, but really, I just leaned on the banister. I put my hair over my eyes and watched Mama talk to Uncle Matt through a red-brown curtain. Uncle Matt said something about Alex. Mama said, the doctor. I pushed my hair out of my eyes. What's wrong with Alex? Everyone turned and looked at me. Mama's face trembled, and I listened for Alex crying, but he didn't. Please, God, make Alex okay. I'll be good.
Nothing's wrong, kiddo,
Uncle Matt said. I opened my eyes and saw everything was the same, except Uncle Matt was looking at me.
Alex is just different. His mind...
Mama poked Uncle Matt with her elbow hard enough to hurt. He didn't flinch.
I think Emily has a right to know what's going on,
he said to her. Mama pushed her teeth together.
I'll tell her my own way, thank you.
Outside, the wind pushed a tree branch against the window. I couldn't stop shivering. I sat down and hugged myself. Uncle Matt looked at me. I pretended I was a snowflake melting into the stairs, but he didn't look away. It wasn't my fault, I said. Miss James!
Look, Emily. Matthew,
Mama said.
Come help me with dinner.
Mama's eyes were big and round and on fire.
Once again, that excerpt was from Chapter 1 of Winter Silence, coming out in June 2008. I hope you enjoyed it and hope you enjoyed the show. I'd love to hear your comments and concerns and questions. Anything you want to shoot my way, please email me at stephanie@stephaniesilberstein.com, and I just might read it on the air. And that's it for this week. Next week, we'll be tackling such issues as the way handicapped children are treated in school and at home, and what to do in order to make the world a little bit better for them. I'd like to thank the people at iBeats.com and the people at OpenMuse.com for their use of their music, my friends, family, and colleagues for supporting me in the endeavor to get Winter Silence published, and especially you, my listeners. Until next time, I'm Stephanie Silberstein for Tilting at Windmills, encouraging you to think about how you can make the world a better place. Have a good night.